Good morning. My name is Terry Marks, 100 Second Avenue North, St. Petersburg. I have the privilege and the responsibility of advocating for the arts community as CEO of the St. Petersburg Arts Alliance. In 2021, along with Jason Mathis, CEO of the St. Petersburg Downtown Partnership, and representing over 16,000 voices within the arts community and the community in general, the Comprehensive Arts Strategy was launched. This document clearly articulated the need and also the impact of a 1% designation of funding for the arts in the city budget. It's not a grant, it's not a loan, but it's an investment. It would mean it would gain appreciation. Every $1 returns $7. In 2022, the St. Petersburg Arts Alliance, along with Americas for the Arts, conducted an economic impact survey, AEP6, and was proven that the arts contributed over $132 million to the city. And of that, $61.6 million, or 46%, came from the arts community itself. The arts supported 2,121 jobs. The arts generated $26 million in taxes to local, state, and federal governments. The momentum of new corporations, individuals, and investors are powered by our culture, by our arts. The question is, what would happen if we actually provide the arts with the funds that help with sustainability and capacity building? An investment of $7 million based on the AEP model gets matched by audiences by over $8 million, and it propels arts and related income upwards by nearly $10 million, clearly creating 250 more jobs, providing increased tax revenue, and at the same time, we continue to evolve and become who we say we are, a city of the arts. This is best articulated in the Comprehensive Arts Strategy. We've provided all the council with copies of that. Once again, it's on our website as well. It's an inflection point for the city of St. Pete in our history. This is a moment for our city leaders to step forward where state leaders have stepped back. It is a time when we, all of us together, in step, set high bars for the city because we are smart, because it makes economic sense. Supporting music, dance, performance, books, museums, galleries, districts, studios, murals, sculptures, technology, and those individuals and organizations who are driving this economic sector, we are asking for your support, your voice, your vision to step forward and leverage our cultural capital for now and for the future by supporting 1% of the city's budget by providing adequate and sustainable funding for the arts.
I am Suzanne Pomerantsev, and 55 years ago, I founded the
address,
Academy of
please.
Ballet Arts in St. Petersburg.
Address, please.
I'm sorry?
Address.
515 22nd Street South, St. Petersburg in the Warehouse District.
Thank you.
Sorry, I'm hard of hearing. The Academy is one of the nonprofit casualties of the vetoed state arts grants, and the children of the Warehouse District need your help in supporting their school. I'm asking that the City Council devote 1% of their budget to supporting the small and medium-sized nonprofit organizations affected so deeply by the loss of support from Tallahassee. I moved to St. Petersburg from San Francisco in 1967, and I was immediately aware that I had relocated to a desert when it came to the arts. No opera house, no Shakespeare Gardens, no professional ballet school, and no cultural structure for the arts. My journey from 1967 to 2024 has been a long struggle to educate the community I live in that the arts, and particularly dance, is vital to help children and adults recover from trauma and learn to express their fears and triumphs. The Academy's vision is to reach all those children that don't know they have an artist hiding inside of them, who will have to express themselves through movement when words aren't there. You don't dance because you have a gift. You dance because you have to. The Academy's commitment to excellence in teaching and performing experience has resulted in over 75 of our students becoming professional dancers, choreographers, teachers, and technicians. Audiences in St. Petersburg saw Breonna Reed, Calvin Royal III, Ephraim Sykes, and Eileen Curtis perform at the Palladium and the Mahaffey as young artists. Breonna became a principal dancer with Alvin Ailey and danced Cry in the Marinsky Theater in St. Petersburg, Russia. Calvin is a principal dancer with the American Ballet Theater, the first African-American to dance Romeo in Romeo and Juliet. Ephraim danced with Ailey, too, and went on to perform on Broadway in Hamilton, Hairspray Live, and Ain't Too Proud. Eileen went on to become a dancer with San Francisco Ballet. These artists grew up here, and the students that they are mentoring now deserve to be supported by their city. It's long past due that the council votes to make 1% of their budget designated for the support of arts nonprofits and create a new entity for the distribution of the funds. Economically and artistically, the nonprofit arts organizations have been an integral part of branding St. Petersburg, the city of the arts, and we need your support now.
Good morning, Council. My name is Jeff Serena. My address is 131 41st Avenue North. I'm a St. Petersburg resident who lives in District 3 and works on the Deuces Corridor, District 7. I vote. I support Council Member Driscoll's 1% for the arts proposal. Like many of you, I value the array of free and accessible arts activities in our community. It has made St. Petersburg a world-famous arts destination. I'm the Director of Operations for the Warehouse Arts District Association. So I know about the other side of the arts, the financial burden associated with being an arts organization. When we provide free, arts-based events and programming to the public, we bear the cost. There's an arts infrastructure we must pay for. Artists need places to create. Artists need places to exhibit. The community needs places to gather for cultural events. To be a comprehensive arts organization that provides for these needs, we assume the very real costs for property, buildings, insurance, utilities, maintenance, and staff. This morning you will hear a lot about the extraordinary value of art. But don't overlook the expense. I urge you to adopt the funding we need to continue providing the community with the free arts activities and events that make this city a vibrant place to live, work, and visit. Thank you.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Victoria Lang, and I volunteer with the Warehouse Arts District Association, 515 22nd Street South. My work there has been extremely rewarding because of the profound impact a nonprofit like ours can have on the community. Early on, we realized that the build it and they will come mentality simply does not serve those who need our programs the most. So what did we do? We moved St. Pete's only free arts education program called Arts Exploration directly into communities and neighborhoods that otherwise would not have access to quality arts programming. This proactive approach of bringing free arts education into the neighborhoods is only possible with subsidies like the one we just lost from the state. This fall, we plan to offer arts education to several organizations in South St. Pete, including Mount Zion Christian Academy, Bowley Centers, Academy Prep, and the Jordan Park neighborhood through the St. Pete Housing Authority. This is not a one-off initiative for WADA or an exception. Since Marcus Gottschalk took over, WADA has consistently presented culturally unique and socially relevant programs, benefiting those who are typically overlooked in our society. We have proudly showcased artwork from former inmates, victims of sexual abuse in collaboration with the Sunco Center, ESE students and clients of Bowley Centers, a wonderful organization that helps people struggling with addiction, homelessness, and mental illness. These programs are nothing short of life-changing. The human stories tied to them are the reason we go to work every day. This type of programming is essential in a community that faces hurt, broken promises, inequality, and injustices every day. There is no specific dollar amount that could ever compensate for the true value of what nonprofits do. However, without support and funding from the city and state, these programs will dry up, and those who get left behind are the ones who need it the most. I appeal to you today to consider the diverse range of arts programming in the communities and allocate 1% of the city's budget to arts nonprofits like WADA. This is how we sustain programs like Arts Exploration. This is what we should fund. This is what we should care about. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Marcus Gottschlich, address 515 22nd Street South. And before I get started, I just want to make sure that this outpour of support here for the arts really indicates the dire situation that we're all in and the crisis we're facing. Again, my name is Marcus Gottschlich. I'm the executive director of the Warehouse Arts District Association. I've had the privilege of presenting arts programs in Florida, New York, New Mexico, New Jersey, various places in Central Europe and Asia over the past 15 years. I stand before you today as a result of the unprecedented challenges that arts nonprofits are facing due to the governor's recent veto. WADA has been at the forefront of advocating for the arts, garnering significant media attention and amplifying the voices of artists and arts organizations affected by the historic cuts. The core issue we face today transcends political lines. Historically, governors from both parties have supported arts funding on the state level. It's also not about choosing between private or public funding, as some may say. Arts nonprofits have always relied on both to sustain and offer diverse programming. Relying on private funding alone would jeopardize the diversity of our offerings, as programs not aligned with private investments would not see the light of day. Who suffers the most from this funding loss? Arts nonprofits like ours, operating on a shoestring budget, providing free and diverse programming to the community, as we heard from Vicky. Defunding organizations like ours will result in a loss of cultural diversity, jobs, and will erode the very fabric of our community. Last year, we produced over 128 events, many of them free to the public, creating 1.1 billion media impressions organically, not paid, organically, which is truly fostering a sense that this is a city for the arts. Many of you may have heard about our initiatives, such as the Gun Violence Prevention Program, our efforts to address the food desert in South St. Pete, and immigration issues in Florida through the arts. This highlights the power of the arts and the responsibility of our nonprofits to drive positive change in our communities. The question before you today is whether these efforts are worthy of your support. With rising costs and living expenses, WADA fosters an environment of sustainability for our studio and member artists. Our work in South St. Pete needs subsidies to remain free to the larger community. Today, I urge you to consider allocating just 1% of the city's annual budget to ensure the longevity of our arts community. A fair, equitable, and transparent process should be established to distribute these funds without bias. Ladies and gentlemen, you have a historic opportunity to address and solve this crisis. A thriving arts scene significantly enhances the quality of life in our city, and supporting arts nonprofits is an investment in cultural diversity and creativity.
Thank you.
Good morning, Chair and Council members. Thank you so much. My name is Barclay Harless. I live at 2617 First Avenue North, Kenwood. Thank you so much for addressing the arts today. I'm a small business banker. My community involvement, I'm on the boards of Art Club Childcare, Career Source, now Tampa Bay, the Warehouse Arts District, and I'm currently chair of the Downtown Partnership. Our city has seen an immense amount of growth over the last few years, and I would argue that a large part of that is due to the lifestyle appeal of the city, in which I think arts are a major contributor to that appeal. I can recall a small business client of mine who moved here and brought his business and his family from San Francisco, which is clearly an international city for the arts. They discovered St. Pete through our beaches and our lifestyle, but they fell in love with St. Pete because of our murals and because of our arts culture and our community. And hearing some of the presentations earlier, I know that this immense growth has impacts on your budget, and you have tough decisions to make when it comes to resiliency, public safety, et cetera. I would leave you with this thought. If you think that the arts has contributed 1% to the identity of the city, I would argue more. But if it has contributed at least 1%, is it not the right thing to do? to support the arts in their time of need with 1%. Thank you so much.
Good morning. My name is Mark Ayling, and I am the board president of the Warehouse Arts District Association. I'm also the owner of MGA Sculpture Studio and the co-owner of Softwater Gallery.
So, address, please?
515 22nd Street South. Right around 2010, after the Great Recession, the city of St. Petersburg started a marketing campaign to pull itself out of the recession. That marketing campaign branded the city of St. Petersburg as the city of the arts. They did that because the creative community was incredibly resilient and had rebounded from the recession, and there was strong leadership, strong people driving that creative community forward. That campaign has been very successful. In the last 15 years, we've seen incredible growth and success in the city of St. Petersburg. The creative community is incredibly vibrant, and it is driving business and interest in the city that is internationally known. The funding for the arts has not kept up with that success that the arts community has brought to this city. Right now, we are well behind in funding for the arts compared to other cities of comparable size that claim themselves as a designation of the city of a city of the arts. 1% would bring us on par with other cities and would do justice to the role that the creative community serves for the city of St. Petersburg. Right now, I believe that we're in a position where we need to step up because the creative community is in crisis. The cost of living is growing to a point where artists are having a hard time staying in this community, and then coupled with what the state has just done, we have to keep in mind that the city of St. Petersburg is not known as the state of the arts or the county of the arts. It is known as the city of the arts, and it is the city's responsibility to fund what they have here and to keep it vibrant. The arts community is the goose that has laid the golden egg for this city. It's time for the city to feed that goose. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Hi, Warren Buchholz, 3630 28th Avenue North. I'm a multimedia and marketing specialist. I also work at the Warehouse Arts District, as well as other places like WUSF, USF St. Petersburg, whatnot, over 10 years. And based on what we're seeing from the press...
Sorry, did I miss it? Did you give an address?
Yes, 3630 28th Avenue North. Thank you. So based on what we're seeing from the press and the magnitude of response due to this arts crisis has been astounding. Catalyst, Tampa Bay Times, I Love the Burg, all of these different media outlets have been a great response to just the advocacy that WADA has done over this past month. And again, WADA is one of the many organizations that are being affected by these funding cuts. And our community senses a real urgency with this crisis. So is it a crisis? It's not homelessness. It's not world hunger. But it is humanitarian. The people I've interviewed, interviews you can watch online, leaders in the arts industry from Mahaffey to American Stage to arts expert, art therapists, as well as USF economics economists have all said the same thing. The arts improves the economy, and it improves the well-being and mental health of a society. And it is the responsibility and role of the government to ensure the well-being of its people by ensuring the preservation of our art spaces, our art community, and our organizations like the Warehouse Arts District Association. This city was built on the backs of its artists, and now we're trying to defund it. If we want to keep the artists here and the cultural vibrancy of this city, then please fund the arts. Please allocate 1% of the budget towards funding these arts, so that way our organizations and our art spaces continue to flourish and expand. Otherwise, this place would just be full of breweries for people to drink. And that's just Tampa. Who wants to live in Tampa? I don't want to live in Tampa. Not even the people of Tampa want to live in Tampa. So please, let's not become Tampa. Please fund the arts. Please allocate 1% towards the arts. Thank you so much.
Good morning. My name is Jason Mathis. I'm the CEO of the St. Petersburg Downtown Partnership. We are located at 244 2nd Avenue North in St. Petersburg. Delighted to not be representing Tampa this morning after that. I wanted to just start out, and I've said this before, but I just want to thank each of you for the time and energy that you dedicate. It's truly a difficult job, and you put in so much energy, compassion, thought, and I have to just make sure that every time I speak to you formally, I recognize the role that you play and the work that you put in, because it means a lot, and I know each of you cares a lot about this city. I guess you've learned there's some stirring out there about art. People are very interested in supporting the art. I think we've also learned that we can't really rely on Tallahassee to necessarily be our partner in this capacity. And for some other cities, that might not be a big deal. For some other cities, it might not be problematic. But this city relies on art as a sense of identity for our quality of life and for our economic growth. When we think about the development that's happened in the city and we see what's gone on in terms of tax revenues, our city's budget has grown by 5, 6, 7, 8% every year for the past several years while reducing the millage rate. So we're actually charging people a lower tax rate, and yet the city's budget continues to increase. So when you're thinking about this 1% ask for art, instead of thinking that we're going to grow next year by 8%, maybe budget 7%, and set aside that 1% for art. Make a philosophical decision that art is important to this community, that it matters to this community, and there's some rationale for that. We already say that with a public building, we're going to dedicate 1% of art for 1% to go towards art in that public building. When a large project is moving forward, whether it's a commercial project or a multifamily residential project, we say that 1% of the budget needs to go to art. Now, I think we make a mistake at capping that at $100,000. I'll talk about that more at a different, when I have more than 57 seconds on the clock. But there's an opportunity to capture an enormous amount of revenue from the development community that could go into creating an endowment to support art, and it's something I think we should consider. You may not be able to get to a full 1% today for this budget that you're talking about, but I hope it's something you'll consider for the future. What I do think the city has capacity for today is to make whole the budget cuts that the governor has created, and to make sure that the existing arts organizations have the resources they need to continue to function for the next year. That won't cost 1%. That's significantly less than that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is John Gaddis. My address is 1651 22nd Avenue South. So I live and work in District 7. I work at the Warehouse Arts District Association as the director of events, and I also work with the grant writing. I moved to St. Petersburg a little less than 2 years ago. My husband's work brought us to the Tampa Bay area, and at the risk of continuing the Tampa slander, we found ourselves spending all of our free time in St. Petersburg, so we moved here a little less than 2 years ago. Prior to that, I had been in New York City metro area for about 15 years as a classical musician, a teacher, and a fundraising consultant with a number of small arts and arts education nonprofits. I wanted to talk just a little bit about this type of funding and why it's so important for small and medium-sized nonprofits in particular. I've heard a lot of outcry about the veto of the funding from the state, but I've been surprised I haven't heard even more, honestly. I've heard a lot from my colleagues up north about it. And this is not, I think, part of the reason I haven't heard more from some of my colleagues in town is for fear of seeming political. This isn't a political issue. All 50 states have a state arts agency, even our territories do, that disperse grant funds to arts organizations based on some sort of panel review. State arts agency funding and local arts agency funding is crucial to nonprofits. For new and small nonprofits, this is often the first kind of funding they can receive from institutions that provide general operating support that allows these organizations to move past thinking project to project and just one season at a time. And it lets them begin to start thinking about sustainability, about expanding their impact and reach, about expanding their staff capacity. So this type of funding is really quite crucial for everyone, but again, especially for these small organizations. Beyond the support for the organization, it also has a kind of a catalyzing effect. It provides a legitimacy to other funders. Family foundations in particular, who tend to not have much of a staff, they look and they see that a state arts funder has supported an organization, they see that some due diligence has been done, and they feel a little more comfortable funding them. So it can really magnify the effect. So the state, by canceling out, by vetoing this funding, has done a tremendous disservice to the arts community. They've robbed these organizations of the dollars that they had counted on, the impact that that would have translated to their community, and also any new organizations that were hoping to get awarded for this year. It's really kind of decimated their immediate plans. So I would urge you all to step in where the state has stepped back, and please do support the arts at this 1% amount that is being suggested. Thank you very much.
Paul Carter, I live at 341 5th Street South in St. Pete, and I guess I just snuck in under the wire here. I'm here to express my support for Council Member Driscoll's proposal that the city adopt a policy to dedicate a minimum of 1% of the annual budget to support the arts in St. Pete. I've served on the board and staff at the Morian Art Center, on the board of American Stage, co-founded a simple theater, served on the Arts Alliance board for about 8 years, and support a number of arts organizations financially. And in every case, these organizations struggled to develop a sustainable source of funding, recently exacerbated by the governor's veto pen. I also served on the steering committee for the Comprehensive Arts Strategy, funded by the city, the Downtown Partnership, and the Community Foundation. Our consultants studied a number of cities, and these cities had two things in common: a sustainable, predictable arts funding mechanism and a thriving, well-recognized arts community. Our consultant's recommendation was, and I quote, to dedicate 1% of the city's budget to support the arts economy, unquote. This is the essence of the proposal we're talking about this morning. Seattle pioneered this model in 1973, and it worked. In the last 5 years, between $14 million and $19 million was generated per year. And I think, unquestionably, Seattle stands out among American cities for its robust art scene, largely as a result of that dedicated funding. The question is often asked, what would artists and arts organizations do with this incremental funding? In general, without adequate funding, the inclination is to play it safe, to avoid risk, to stick with the tried and true. There's also a crying need for capacity building. Most artists and arts organizations do not have the funds to invest in people or technology or marketing. So innovation and increased capacity are the return on this investment. I urge you to take this opportunity to provide our arts community with the support that will truly make St. Pete the city of the arts. Thank you.